Make no mistake about it. Be not misinformed. Do not make a mistake about this. We need to remember, and we must remember today, that the devil is alive, he's well, and he's seeking whom he may devour. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that's why we're constantly reminded of that throughout the Word of God, all the way back from the very beginning of time in the book of Genesis, all the way through the end of Revelation. We can talk about those martyrs that are at the altar of the Lord, at the altar of God, saying, God, how much longer? And we see that the devil has been a persecutor. He's been a problem all the way back from the very beginning of time. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we're given a very bold warning. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the enemy, walking about like a seeking whom he may what? Let me be clear this morning as we talk about the devil. Understand that he does not discriminate. Amen? Say that with me. He does not discriminate. He'll go after the youngest to the oldest. He'll go after you whether you're a Christian, or he'll keep fighting for you if you're not a Christian. So I want to make sure that we all remember today that the devil is out there. He is very, very real. When we see all the different things that are taking place in our society today, things that are going on in our world today, we may begin to wonder, how do we get through a situation like this? How do we continue on in a world with so much adversity? How do we continue on with an enemy that has just that much power? I want you to know today that the devil himself has a whole lot of power, doesn't he? And we know that he has power over people. Well, Jerry, that's just not right, not nice to say something like that. But if you look at the lives of so many people today, it doesn't take long to see that the devil has engaged himself. He's got involved in people's lives, and destruction is coming about. The devil was a problem from the very, very beginning of time. If you go back and think about this, God had to expel him from heaven. Do you remember that over in the book of Revelation? So evidently there was a problem there. And the devil was troubled in the days of Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, a beautiful, perfect place where there's no war, no rumors of war, no tears, no heartache, no death, no sadness, nothing, no sickness, nothing. But then the devil comes into the picture and deceives Eve, and then you know the story from there. So would you agree that he was troubled even back in the Garden of Eden? So we know he's been a problem a long time. Satan also was a problem in the days of Noah. He's a problem, a huge problem in the lives of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, when that was filled with nothing but immorality. And we know that God did everything to try to spare them. And he was asked if we could find a few here, a few there that would be righteous. And sadly, none were found. And what happened to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, congregation?
It was destroyed.
Say, it was destroyed. Understand it. Say it with confidence, because we know that because of the iniquity, because of the corruption, because Satan had filled the hearts of so many of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, that it brought destruction on today. Let me be very clear. That same destruction is coming to us today if we don't get it right. Amen? So I want you to remember today the title of the lesson, Jesus Shows Us the Way. And Jesus is going to show you and me the right way. Again, we know that the devil's been a problem. He was a problem in the life of a guy named Judas Iscariot. I've never heard of him. Anybody ever heard of Judas Iscariot? Yeah, very good. We know that he filled Judas's heart. You and I would call that greed, where he sold his master out, he sold his lord out, he sold his friend out for several pieces of silver. We also know that he was a problem in the life of a guy named Jonah. Anybody heard of him? Jonah was told to go cry out against Nineveh. That doesn't mean shed tear cry. That means that he was told to go and preach against Nineveh, preach to Nineveh against the sin that they were engaged in. He didn't like that idea. He did not like the people of Nineveh. So what he did, he caught a ship and he went another direction, didn't he? Do you agree that he was fleeing his responsibilities from God? He wasn't mad at God. Don't be confused. He wasn't. I'm convinced in my reading of the Bible that what he was doing was fleeing his responsibilities from God, but Satan had filled his heart and confused him and deceived him and made things foggy and smoky, the same thing that he's doing to the lives of so many people today. I submit to you, don't look for the devil to deliver you. Jesus shows us the way. Say that with me. Jesus shows us the way. So I want to make sure that we're reminded on a daily basis, every single day, when we get up and we open our eyes, I hope the first thing we're doing is saying, God, thank you for yet another day. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to breathe today. Thank you, Lord, I'm able to communicate with you through prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you have laid out in front of me that I can know firsthand what I'm to do to be an heir of that beautiful prepared place that you're preparing for prepared people. Satan continued to cause problems. He caused problems in a guy named Peter. Peter was one that denied Jesus even after he made an oath that I will what before I deny you? Say that. Out, exactly right. Good job. Even if I have to die, I will never be made to deny you. And then about that time, this chicken started hollering. The rooster crowed how many times? Three times. What did that remind Peter of? That he had just what? Just denied his Lord and Master Jesus Christ. How many of us are like Peter today? How many of us stand on Sunday and say, you know, Lord, thank you for everything? How many of us today are acting like him? Lord, my life is in your hands. I love you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything I can for you. I want to witness for you, and I want to be an ambassador for you, and I want to be that preacher that you want me to be, and that teacher you want me to be, and that song leader you want me to be. I want to be that active church member that you want me to be. And that's all in good, and that's awesome. But then what happens when we leave the building? Where's that spirit that you had when you were in the building? Where is that spirit where you feel filled with Jesus Christ? Where you feel filled with the Holy Spirit? You and I today, brothers and sisters, we can find ourselves, I'm not judging, but do you agree we can find ourselves getting stale in our relationship with God? And I've got some people that are agreeing. I got one asleep, and I got another one that's making a grocery list. The reality is, brothers and sisters, we must be sure that we're not losing focus on things. Make sure we keep that same spirit when we walk out of the door. When we walk into our places of employment, we don't have to have a tag that says, I'm a Christian, Jared, but people should know that you're a child of God on your job. If we walked in Jared's job tomorrow and said, hey, Jared and I go to church together, if they go, Jared goes to church, that's a problem. You agree with that? If they come to my job at the funeral home and you say, yeah, he's our preacher, and they go, Jerry Ladd's a preacher, then there's a problem. If you say, hey, I've known Amy Dolores for a good while. She goes to our church. She makes a heck out of peanut butter cookies. They're not going to say anything about the peanut butter cookies, but they may say, she's a Christian? Are y'all getting the picture? That's not really happened. She does make good peanut butter cookies, but the other part has not happened. But I want to make sure you understand that we are God's people. We are walking testimonies. Do you get that? We are either representing God or we're representing who? Satan. So I want to remind all of us today that Jesus, listen to me, that Jesus shows us the way out of the stronghold that Satan has on so many people. Do you agree with me today? And if you don't agree, just say, no, I don't. But do you agree that he's ripping families apart today? Do you agree that the devil is busting up relationships? All right. Do you agree today that he is literally splitting congregations of the Lord's church up over some of the, let me be very bold, some of the most stupid things that I have ever heard of in my entire life? Congregations today that are splitting up over nothing. And most of the time that a congregation splits up, normally, seriously, it's not even over something scriptural. It's over she had bad feelings, or he had bad feelings, or they had bad feelings, or he got upset and he went and did this, or they went and did that. Folks, we've got to man up. We've got to make sure that we understand that it is not my way, it's not your way, it's not your way, it's not your way, it's not his way or her way, it's God's way. Amen? And if we're not willing to let God show us the way through his son Jesus Christ, then you're wasting your time and you're certainly wasting mine. So I want to make sure today, in love, just showing us together, teaching myself that Jesus is the way. It's not what the preacher says. For those of you that think, well, the preacher said, you're nuts, you're psycho. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Amen? Are you happy now? Okay, good. So I just want to make sure that we're all together in this. We agree that now there's all these issues. Do you agree that families are falling apart? You said, yeah, homes are now being separated. Congregations being separated. Satan has a stronghold on so many people today in our world. Let me retighten that up. I just lied to you and didn't mean to. He has a death grip on people today. Because when he holds you tight in his arms, that is literally, says a death grip, isn't it? Because if we don't break loose from the devil, if we don't allow Jesus to show us the way, you're already in death. Romans 6:23, does anybody know what the Bible says? For the wages of sin, keep going. But the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord. Who said that? Good job. All right. Let me show you something. As we talked about just a few minutes ago, we know that Satan does not discriminate. You said it, I said it, we agreed to it. And it wasn't that long ago that we discussed from this pulpit, and I believe that Stephen and them remember this pretty well. I know Aubrey talks about this, and because this one particular lesson, devices that Satan uses, she responded to the invitation with that lesson. It's not because I preached it, it's because of what God said in His Word. But we talked about devices that He uses and the improper use of social media. Do you think that can be a problem? There's been marriages separated today because somebody was on improper use of social media. Some people was on the internet, improper use of the internet, and now they have pornography addiction. Some people are now talking to the little chickadees because the wife's in one room and they're on the computer talking to somebody or sending images or receiving images. Leave it alone, okay? It's the devil's workshop. Use it for your job. Use it to communicate with a loved one that's in another town and turn it off and go spend time with your loved one. Amen? Well, if you like that, good. If you don't like it, good. Because I'm tired of seeing the devil separate our families and your families. Do you understand what I'm saying? Quit relying on the devil to show us the way. Jesus shows us the way. Say it again. Jesus shows us the way. Some of you may think, well, Jerry's in a mood this morning. No, I'm not. I'm passionate about what I'm telling you. That the devil, it makes me sick to my stomach when I see people. We had a huge week at the funeral home. But when I see these families come in, and one is on one side of the table and one is on the other, and I see these families all divided, and they're upset each other, and they can't stand each other, and they just lost mom or they just lost dad. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man goes to the Father. That's it. So the improper use of social media, the improper use of this networking, trashy literature that people could have in their house, evil associations, quit looking lightly upon that. Understand what I'm saying? Quit looking lightly. Well, and you know when people start slapping their lips, they're already lying. Well, you're not getting ready to eat. You're getting ready to lie. Evil associations will bury you. Do you understand? Here's what I'm getting at. If you're around somebody, everybody that knows Jerry Ladd Sr., not proud of it, knows that I had a kind of a potty mouth for a long time and still not 100% over it. If I get around somebody that's constantly using abusive language, Bobby, understand, it won't take me that long to talk just like they're talking. Do we understand that? I'm not proud of that. But listen, Amy, but if I associate with you and other members of the household of faith and y'all don't talk like that, guess what? I don't either. Are we getting this? So evil associations, Harvey. Harvey, you've had difficulties in your life. You and I have talked about it. Harvey has had some struggles. He's had some addictions. He's had some things. But look at him today, a godly man, amen, a Christian. But if Harvey goes back and he starts hanging around in these places and hanging around with the wrong group of people, guess what? Where's Harvey? He's going to be right back where he was. So, Harvey, thank you for letting me use that. But the reality is, and I'm not trying to cause embarrassment to anyone, Jared found out right after I came here, I kind of visited the Crossbar Hotel for an assault charge that I wasn't real proud of. Hey, that happens. I don't do that today because I don't allow myself to get in those situations. I call my sister and let her handle my fights, and everything works out great. Listen to me. Trashy literature, evil associations, and how about this one? You don't like this, you're going to get offended. Good. How about neglect? Neglect. Did you hear what I said? How often are we neglecting our salvation? Not me, Jerry. Nope. Okay, well, how many times did you go to the Lord in prayer last week? Oh, I don't know, every morning. How many times did you actually open up the Bible, not just to move it because it was in your way, but how many times did you open up the Bible and search the Scriptures to find out what I'm telling you is the truth or not? Amen? How many times did we search the Scripture, Brother Larry, because there's confusion in our lives? There's things going on, Darlene, in our lives. I don't know how to overcome this situation that I'm faced with. I don't know how to overcome this adversity, Amy. So I'm going to search the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will show me that Jesus is the way out. Amen? He's the way out of the situation. So how many times have we searched the Scriptures? How many times How many times am I praying for my enemies? How many times should I be praying for my enemies? Continually. Amen. Weaknesses that we have. But we better be recognizing them, because I can take my weaknesses and I can sweep them under a rug and I can bury them and I can hide them, but I can't hide them from God. Amen. That's what the devil wants me to do. He wants me to think, to minimize my sin and look heavy at yours. What we better be doing is worry about what God sees in our life. Amen. And what other people are seeing, because we are walking, talking testimonies of Jesus Christ. We need to show others what Jesus has done for us. We don't have to be Bible scholars. I don't have to know Greek. I don't have to know Hebrew. All I have to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? And what that means to you and what it means to me. Understand that the devil is out there. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, go ahead. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Yeah, it's a long passage, but I'm going to speed up. Amy, I got good news. I only have 2 points today. Is that good? This side's asleep. Amy, I only have 2 points today. All right, so that's why the introduction is just a little bit longer. But Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, we all agree that Satan doesn't care who he tempts. Amen? Y'all ready? Jesus was led up to the Spirit. Watch this. Led up by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tested by who? Or tempted by? So it shows the devil is now becoming whose adversary? Jesus' adversary, right? When he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, afterwards Jesus was hungry. When the tempter came, talking about the devil, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him right there on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, "If you are," did y'all notice that word "if" has already been used a couple times? What's he trying to do to the devil? I mean, what's the devil trying to do to Jesus? Create doubt, confusion, right? Same thing he does to us. Are we in agreement? Okay. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So thankfully the devil left him and never bothered him again. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get back, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. Behold, the angels came, and what did they do with the Lord? Took care of him. I love that. Took care of him. Took care of our Jesus. How did Jesus survive this temptation? Number one, he recognized his enemy. Yes or no? He recognized who this enemy was, but he didn't place even his reliance upon himself. Who did Jesus place his reliance upon? Who are we today to place our reliance upon? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Quit trying to think that you can handle it on your own. I promise you, I can't do it. You can't do it. Amen? Jesus is the way. He shows us how we overcome. Now, let's go back to the book of Psalm for a minute. Psalm 23. Every time I look at Psalm 23, I think about Bobby, because Bobby and I was, remember when we were learning this together and we was trying to memorize it there for a while? So Bobby memorized his because he cheated. He had it on his refrigerator at his house. So I took his cheating tool and I did it too, so that way I was able to remember. So anyway, Bobby, I think ours may still be on there. I'm not sure. It made it through a move and now it's still on there. So Psalm 23. When the Bible talks about Jesus being the way out, when the Bible talks about that God is our shepherd, let me remind you, He is not our shepherd unless we choose Him to be our shepherd. Amen? Jesus, listen, you might want to argue that one. Bring it on. If you don't choose Jesus, because He's already chosen us, when He came from heaven, He died upon that cruel cross, He said, "Father, forgive them." He chose you and me. But you and I have to make a choice to follow after Him as well. Do you agree with that? In Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his," and then do what? So don't you dare tell me that what I said is not true. The Bible just reiterated it. It's clear as a whistle. We have to choose the Lord to be our shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not," very good, Jerry Jr., "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores, the Bible says, my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are y'all ready for four? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I'm going to walk through all kinds of things. There's going to be difficulties. I'm walking through the shadow of death. I'm scared I'm going to die. I see death coming, and you do too. But I'm not going to fear it. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Are we good so far? For thou art with me, your rod, your staff. The Bible says they comfort me. You, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You just keep on abundantly supplying the things that we need. Surely goodness and mercy is just going to keep following me all the days of my life. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. Bobby, how long? Forever. So look at what we're seeing here. It shows David, this great psalmist, saying, I choose the Lord to be my shepherd. And because of that, he provides well for me. And what else? What's the ultimate? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Am I going to face adversity? Yes. But what's he going to do? He's going to lead me beside the still waters. Am I going to be so tired at life sometime I just want to throw in the towel? Absolutely. He's going to lay me down in those green pastures, isn't he? He's going to give me the rest that I need and the rest that you need. But you better remember that it is Jesus that shows us the way, not you. We have to remember that. Jesus shows us the way. 2 points. This will make Amy happy, but 2 points, and then we'll go. The first point I want us to examine is this. This was part of a Wednesday night. This was part of a Sunday, for those of you that may recognize some of it, okay? But I want us to understand that Jesus shows us the way out of the devastation of sin. Does that make sense? Is sin devastating? Jesus shows us the way out of that, Jerry. So we are all pretty aware that it is sin that separates us from God. Amen, if you believe that. All right, so we understand that it is indeed sin that separates us from our Father above. That's why, brothers and sisters, we've got to be very, very careful about that. Let me just show it to you in the Bible. Would anybody like to go with me to Isaiah 59? Well, excuse me, cookie maker. I love it. Isaiah chapter 59, go with me to verse 1 and 2. Are y'all already there? I know, yes? Let's check this out. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Did you notice this? Your iniquities, your sin, your corruption, your continued sin, watch this, have separated you from your God, and your sins, I love this, have hidden his face from you. What's that mean? So that he's not even going to pay attention. Amen? So that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your... Watch this, go ahead and do 3 because Harvey will start complaining. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue, watch this, has muttered perversity. What does that mean? There's been a bunch of false teachers out there. A bunch of people getting hurt for no reason. Amen? So when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we understand that it is not God that has separated himself from us. There's no valley between us and God. What's there between us and God is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We wash in the blood of Jesus, and then we live for Jesus, and God is in that place called heaven. He and his Son are preparing the perfect place, the best place, but it is up to you and me to make sure that we are living a life conducive to his word so that we can be recipients of that beautiful place. I need to avoid sin as much as possible. I don't know about you, but I can be easily influenced. Anybody else besides the preacher? 2, me and Tony only. Tony, rest of these people are liars. And so the reality is, if you're here today and you don't think you can be tempted by sin, something's wrong. You need to come and respond seriously, because even our Jesus was tempted. Amen? So the devil is not going to let you by with anything. He wants to bring you into his snare. Now let me prove to you that every one of us are tempted by sin. When we sin, did we just wake up that morning and sin? No. We sin when we go against the will of God, yes or no? We sin when we fall short of the glory of God. But in order to do that, I've got to commit the sin, yes or no? The Bible tells us, for those of you perfect ones that said you don't, The Bible says you're a liar. And I know that sounds mean, but it does say that you're a liar. And here's why it says that. The Bible says, for all have and fallen of the glory of God. So for those of you that are perfect, please visit that passage of Scripture. Because seriously speaking, I know I'm being grumpy a little bit with that one, but I just want to drive that home to you that Mr. Perfect, Miss Perfect, you're not perfect. But together, when we wash in the blood of Jesus, when we put Christ on in baptism, when we make that confession and then live that confession that we've made and do what God's called us to do, guess what? In God's eyes, we're perfect. Amen? You know why? Because His Son, Jesus' blood, was perfect. So I want to make sure that we remember that. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Make sure we understand that God will not tolerate intentional sin. I have to consider what the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. In flaming what? Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say might be. The Bible says these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of what? His power. We also need to remember what that great psalmist David had to say regarding sin. In the book of Psalm, chapter 145, down in verse 20, the scripture says, the Lord preserves all those who love Him. Did you catch that? Are you excited about that? Okay. And if you love me, go. Bingo. But all of the wicked, the Bible says, He, God, shall what? He's going to destroy them. That's what the scripture says. The way out, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. Jesus shows you and He shows me the way. And the way is through His blood, through the blood of Jesus, His Son, our Savior. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much of our sin? Thank you, Teresa, from all of our sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him. Say that with me. In Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of whose grace? So you see where you're at today is not anything to do with you except your willingness to follow. It's because of the grace of Almighty God. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 20, down in verse 28, Jesus purchased us with His life, His blood that He shed on the old cross. The way out of eternal damnation, that condemnation that we see, the way out of the devastation of sin is certainly through Jesus Christ. The passage of Scripture that I've tried to make sure I do in every lesson, John 3, 16, 17. Y'all welcome to go with me. For God so that He gave His only, that whosoever believes in Him, but how? For God sent not His Son into the world to, but that the world through Him might be good. Everybody was actually communicating. That's awesome. Very, very, very proud of you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, look at Heather, she killed it over there. Good job. Christ died for you and me. Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth the Son, and you shall call His name, for He will save His people from, there it is, Harvey, good job. I'm proud that Ellen took good care of you this morning and gave you two sausage and biscuits. Now stay over there where you belong. Okay, good job. He'll save His people from their sin. So as we conclude this particular point, Jesus shows us the way out of the path and devastation of sin. Remember that. Is that okay? Point number two, and this lesson's going with you. This point will only take an hour and 20 minutes. Amy's like, I'm out of here, dude. Okay. So let's just do this one and get out of here. Jesus shows us the way out of this fallen and condemned world to an eternal home in heaven. Amen? He takes us and He'll show us how to get out of this condemned world to an eternal home in that place called heaven. Folks, please know that the Christian life absolutely requires discipline, doesn't it? I don't like discipline, and I know you don't either, but thank God He's given me that correction. Because without the correction, without the discipline from the Lord, I don't know how to get there. Because He's already told me there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. The way out of this old sin-filled world is through Jesus Christ. I appreciate what the Lord tells you and me over in 1 John 2:15 through 17 about not loving the world because the world is passing away and the lust of it. But if we abide in the Father and we love Him, we'll abide forever. Did you see that? We will abide how long? Forever. That means that we will be with God and the heavenly host for an eternity. I can't imagine never having pain again. I can't imagine ever worried about, is he going to respond or is she going to respond or is he going to come back to the church or is she going to come back to the church? None, no more of those worries. It's just going to be worshiping Almighty God. Amen? Can you just imagine how that's going to feel? Or the agonies and the horror of that place called hell. As much as there's a heaven, it's the same thing with hell. Do you agree with that? There's a heaven, there's a hell. I'll never forget what Paula's dad shared with me and Paula, and it broke both of our hearts. When Paula's dad says, oh, I know for a fact there's a heaven. I know that, but I just don't believe there's a hell. You remember that, Paula? And Paula began to show scripture, and he goes, I just know that God's not going to do that. Why would he create his children to destroy them? He created his children and gave us the luxury in life of making a choice, didn't he? He gave us intelligence. Whether use it to the right way or whether we fail to use our intelligence the right way. But we've known a lot of people that have put on the breastplate of righteousness. They met Jesus in baptism. They made a public confession. They believed that Jesus is God's son. Not only believed it, they said they knew that he did it. And then put him on in baptism, and where are they today? I got some of my own family members. I don't know where they're at. I got some family members living not too far away. I got them in other states. We've got, Dana, you and I have family members. I'm not trying to judge, but they're not in church. Where are they? I've got friends that says, well, I just don't believe that you have to be there. It's not up to me, but the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as it's a matter of some. My question has to go back to what it's always been. I guess I'll die with that same question. Why would you not want to be together with the Lord's people? Amen. Why do you have to be begged and pleaded with? Why do you think, and I hear this sometimes and it aggravates a stew out of me, I guess it goes back to me being no bedside manner, a grumpy preacher, but I hear people say, one of these days, Jerry, we're just going to come to that church. We're going to surprise you, and you'll be lucky that we're there. Excuse me? What? Yes, I'd love for people to come to the church. I want people to come to the congregation that I serve. The last time I checked, Jerry Stevens, I don't have a church. Neither do you. Neither do you. We serve together in the Lord's church in this location. Amen? That's what we do. Let's use good grammar. I'm already wound up. I ain't got no church. But I serve the Lord's church. And you serve in the Lord's church. But it goes back to this. We need to be praying for the prodigal. We need to be praying for those that's put on Christ. And now they've disappeared. We got many members from James Avenue that's not here today. Seriously speaking. That we need to reach out to. And we need to reach out in love and show them. Are we in agreement so far with that? All right. That eternal home depends on it. And I'm thankful that Jesus has provided everything that you and I need to be victorious in our walk with Him. But there's a condition to that. There is a condition to that. Matthew 6:33 says, you got to put me first. You got to put my righteousness first and you have to live for me. Matthew 10:37-39 was read a while ago. Jesus provides His followers with an avenue of prayer. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words. What does it say? Thank you, Brother Larry. Pray without ceasing. I didn't put that one on the board. That's why nobody knew. Psalm 119. You knew, didn't you, Jerry? So you owe me $4. I'm going to give it down to you for $3. If you don't have the money, I ain't going to let you borrow it. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my what? And it's a light unto my what, Harvey? All right, so Jesus also established the church. We know that He did. Matthew 16:18, I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of shall not. What did Jesus just tell you? Even though physical death's coming about, even though I'm going to die and ascend up on high, my church will always what? Yes. So listen to me. My church, even though it's going to be blasted at and hit at and thrown at and persecuted and blasphemed against, guess what? You're not going to knock down my church. Why? Because it belongs to the Lord. It was purchased with His blood. Not yours, not mine, His. And then, and here's the beautiful thing about that. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47, having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to the church, his church. When? Those that are being what? Those that are being saved. Good job. So, do you understand and see that Jesus shows us the way to that beautiful place called heaven? Do you agree with it or not? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter was preaching the first gospel sermon that the people had heard. I think it was on the day of Pentecost, Harvey. I'm not sure. Was it? Okay. It was on the day of Pentecost. And he was preaching, Amy, to those people who just helped crucify Jesus. I think he was upset. He should have been. But he was preaching. He was preaching God's solid word. Cynthia, are you paying attention to this one? They were pricked in their hearts. What does that mean? They were pricked in their hearts. That means they were touched in their heart. That means his message did what? It went right on in and settled in their heart. That means they began to what? To knowledge and to have knowledge of it and to think about it and understand we messed up. Are we together? So they said to him, what can we do? We need to get this straightened out. We have really, really, really dropped the ball here. Peter said to them, he said, yes, he did. And let every one of you be baptized. Hey, Tony, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason, congregation? And then you shall receive the gift. Very good. So we understand that Jesus Christ shows us the way out of the sin or the consequences of sin, and he shows us how to get to that place called heaven. Yes or no? John 8:31. If you abide, if you live in my word, guess what? You're my disciples. And the Bible says, indeed. So let us all be reminded again today as I get ready to close. And Amy, this is the real part about closing. As I get ready to close, Jesus says, well, I know the first one means nothing. The second one means you're getting close. And the third one usually means you're really going to close. But since I only have 2 points, this is the real one. Jesus tells us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But, Jared, I'm so full of sin. I've got so many problems going on. I've got these temptations. I've got these trials. I've got these problems. Jesus says, hush, Jerry. Seriously. That's what he says. He says, calm down. And here's what he says to you and me, Teresa. Let not your hearts be. Say it like you mean it. Let not your hearts be. Believe in God. Believe also. He says, in my Father's house are many what? He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. Even in those days, there was one that doubted, a fellow named Thomas, just like we may have some here today that may be like Thomas. Lord, where are you going? We don't know the way you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and no man. So I want y'all to say this with me as we really seriously get ready to close. Jesus shows us the way. Say that like you mean it. Jesus shows us the way. So today, wherever you're going to lunch, whether you're going home or you're going to a restaurant somewhere, if they say, what did y'all talk about in church today? I hope that you'll say, Jesus shows us the way. Now, as we close, I know that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of concern in regards to us having this beautiful place in heaven. It's a little bit confusing because there's a bunch of people in our world today involved in organized religion, if I may, about what they believe heaven is. There's a group of religious people that think that heaven's going to be right here. If heaven's going to be right here, I'm already in trouble because I don't like it here. Amen? I mean, it's all right. I mean, it'll do for right now, but this is not where I want to be for eternity. I want to go to heaven, the place I've been reading about in the book of Revelation, the place that Jesus tells me about in John chapter 14. How do I get there? Paul said to Timothy, and he said to you and me. He said it to you, Tony. You need to listen to this, because he said it to me and you both. He said, study to show thyself. Very good. Tony was on that. I was going to get him, but he was on it. Approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, but. Very good. But sometimes, congregation, it's just too heavy. Dana, are you watching this one? Sometimes it's real heavy, and I don't really know what to do. Sometimes life just gets so heavy, I don't know that I can do it. I'm tired of this. Oh, really? Well, if you'll just refocus and look back at Jesus, he says, I'll give you the strength that you need. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through. So I want you today to receive the invitation of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. And what does Jesus say? That's right. He says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest. Say it, Cynthia. Rest. Good job. Rest for your soul. That's right. So if you're tired today of the attacks of Satan, if you're beat up from where he's pushed you around, if your knees are bloody where he has shoved you to the ground, don't you dare give up. You stand up and you fight against the wiles of the devil. And you do what the Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, about putting on the helmet of salvation. Have the sword of the Spirit. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird yourself so that you can be equipped to take the word of God out and save yourself and others that are about you. Amen? So receive that invitation today. Jesus shows us the way. Today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, I encourage you to become one. Quit letting Satan have dominion over you. Don't you let him control you another day. Hear God's word. I've given it to you today. Believe in God. Know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Know. Don't believe it. Just know in your heart that he left heaven. He came here. He showed us what to do. He was crucified for my sins, your sin, my guilt, your guilt. He was buried in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, what happened with Jesus? He arose from the dead. Where is he now? He ascended up on high. He's sitting at the right side of the Father, and he's pleading my case, and he's pleading your case before the Father today. Amen? We know that. We're going to make that confession. Be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Come out of that water, give a baptism, dead to the old way and alive the new way. Live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you're a Christian, you've been through those motions. I don't like that word, motions. You've been through those steps in the plan of salvation, but you realize, you know what? I have been blowing it. Is anybody here besides the preacher ever just blown it? Thankfully, sitting on the front row. Thankfully, Jesus has given me another opportunity to make sure I get it right. He's given you an opportunity today to make sure that you get it right. If there are things in your life that's debilitating to your Christian walk with Jesus Christ, today you need to come forth. Ask for the prayers of the congregation. I've said it before. Let me say it again. Don't be ashamed to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Be ashamed you didn't ask for the prayers of the congregation. Are we together? If there's a need, come now. It's together we stand and we sing.